Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.
Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. It's Tuesday, January 11th, 2011, and that's 1-11-11. And I'm your host, Ariel Taylor, with my co-host, Lavendar. Tonight, we'll be continuing our interview with Catherine Peters-Brinkley. Catherine is a well-known author, journalist, and lecturer, and is the publisher and editor of the acclaimed online bi-monthly periodical called Kinetics Magazine, Awakening to Ascension, whose readership includes a crossover from mainstream thinkers to seasoned higher consciousness practitioners, from spiritual sustainability to ancient prophecy. She has a personal and deep interest in the subject of extraterrestrial beings, crop circles, and our planetary ascension. From early childhood, she has been aware of the presence of extraterrestrial or ascended masters all around her, communicating with her and guiding her life. After the harmonic convergence of 1987, Catherine was contacted directly by the Galactic Federation and has received countless communications from them ever since. Catherine and Lavendar will be talking about abductions, cloning, and the truth about the vanishing twins. Catherine will share with us her account of being pregnant with twins and having her womb space taken to other levels of ET experiments. We'll be taking questions for Catherine and Lavendar immediately following this discussion. And the call-in number is 917-889-8292. We're also honored to have our dear friend Ms. Muggsy bringing her 2011 predictions and giving some insights to individuals who want to ask her pertinent questions. Lavendar will only briefly be mentioning the Teton meeting since another presentation of those proceedings is being prepared for release at the end of the month. We also invite you to call in to talk about your views concerning disclosure, and we want to remind everyone to visit www.afterdisclosure.com to get up to speed about the most dramatic, important event to happen in our lifetime. This is a must for starseed, walk-ins, and lightworkers, since it's one of the reasons why our presence on the planet has new meaning. Later in the second half of the show, we'll have our weekly Belvelation from our resident health expert, Belva Bloomer. We're so grateful to have our friend Purple Sage handling the switchboard to help organize our ever-growing amount of callers. Please be mindful of others who will also be waiting with questions and try to keep your questions or comments concise. We'd like to thank Sierra for co-hosting in the chat room today. For those who can't call in with questions, for those who can, once again, the call-in number is 917-889-8292. Press 1 if you have something to say. You can also listen on your computer at blogtalkradio.com/Starseed Radio Academy. Before I introduce Lavendar and Catherine, I'd like to encourage you to register for free here at Blog Talk Radio and click the word follow at the top of our page, so you'll get an email notice when our next show is coming. All of our past shows are available on demand at blogtalkradio.com/Starseed Radio Academy. Once you're on our page, notice at the bottom where it says previous episodes. You have to click there to access the older shows. If you're new to our show, you've missed a lot of chapters, so we highly recommend listening to all of them, since they're interconnected with critical information for Starseed that you won't find elsewhere. Also, Starseed Radio Academy is now available on iTunes. You can download shows to go, and it's all free. It's a great way to catch up on chapters you may have missed when you're away from home. However, it's best not to listen to our podcast while you're driving. If you haven't visited our main site yet, which is starseedhotline.com, we have a lot of vital information for Starseed in our Vault of Knowledge. The entire site is coded for Starseed activation. Try hovering your mouse over some images for special messages. We also have a support forum for Starseed at starseedhotline.ning.com. And that's .ning.com, starseedhotline.ning.com. If you want to contact us privately, the toll-free number for our website is 888-881-0881. We want to let you know that we have so many requests for our $18 Starseed confirmation, which we call a Stage 1 reading, that there could be up to a two-week wait. With a Stage 1 reading, you'll get your natal and progress charts and an MP3 of your reading pointing out and explaining your star markings. Our Stage 2 readings, which are a one-on-one phone consultation, do get priority, and they also include the Starseed confirmation. Now, I would like to welcome my co-host, Lavendar.
Well, hello, Arielle, and I'm so glad you're back off the trip to the Caribbean. And we do want to know about, were you able to feel our energy that we sent to you at 8 p.m.? Do you have anything you want to share with us?
I not only felt it, I saw it.
Okay, tell us.
I saw it. I was sitting at dinner because we had an 8 o'clock seating for dinner every night, and I was looking out the window at the Caribbean and the stars, and I saw. I could best describe it as a fountain of green light, and the base of the fountain was coming towards me, and all these tendrils of green, like a fireworks explosion, was going out in all different directions, and I was wondering what would happen at 8 o'clock. Didn't actually expect to get a visual on it, but wow, it was great. We had calm seas, a wonderful time, and then I came back home to a blizzard, so that was kind of culture shock there.
Well, we're glad that you're back, and
me too.
We know that you had a really great time, and you probably needed the salt air and the calmness that you experienced, and I'm so glad you had that time with your brother. So we're glad that
too.
You're back. I'm so glad
and,
you're back.
And, being miles away from cell phone towers, and, of course, no one on the ship could use their cell phones.
Which was a good thing.
Oh, it was a very good thing. It was amazing. And I think that was part of the culture shock coming back, not only to an extreme temperature difference, but coming back into this environment where we're being bombarded with, EMF radiation from 360 degrees. That was one of the unexpected benefits of being at sea.
Right. Good.
And I didn't get seasick one time.
Good. Good for you. Were you able to sing while you were there? I know that this was kind of a musical thing, and were you able to, people can hear your voice, did they do that?
Yes, I was able to sing on one night, and it was really great. And I have to say that I've gotten to where I can kind of look at somebody and sense their star heritage. And there were a lot of starseed on this cruise. I don't think they were aware of it, but they may be soon.
Well, you probably activated a lot of them.
Well, that's been known to happen. As we have been telling people in our readings, that a lot of times you just have to show up. You just have to be
because
present.
Your presence has power.
That's right. Your presence has power, and I think that's a great motto for each of us to remember.
Right.
You don't have to be, standing at the top of a mountain and have a great healing center and all these things all around you to do your work. You can be going about your life and whatever you have to do to live in the third dimension, and you are walking the presence of your power, and sometimes you just have to be there.
Right.
Just show up. Being on time is also important.
Right, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I'm ready to do the show.
Okay, well, we are still looking for Catherine's call-in, and I don't see it yet.
Okay.
So why don't we change up the order
go
a
to
little
Mugsy.
Bit? Yes, let's have Mugsy do her 2011 predictions. Let me find her number. Hello, Ms. Mugsy. You're on the air.
Hi, ladies. How are you?
Good.
We're doing great. Good to have you here.
Thanks. It's nice to be invited by two blessed individuals such as yourselves.
We're waiting to hear these great predictions. You had sent me a copy of them, and I went, whoa, I want you to read this on our show.
You're so sweet. I actually had two premonitions last night as well that I'd like to share that I haven't told anybody. Before I get into that, I'd like to make an announcement. I just want everybody to know that I don't desire to be a whistleblower. That's not my purpose. That's not what I signed up for. The only reason why I have been disclosing some of the latest information is because my mom fell victim to it, and I know how hard I had to work to heal her just so she could sleep. But other than that, that's not really my purpose, and I want to focus on us creating our new paradigm, and so I'm hoping that that's where my energies are going to be going from now on. So I just want to publicly announce that.
Okay, good. Thank you.
My two dreams that I had recently is about several weeks ago, my guys told me that there would be a new awakening, and the new awakening would be coming from surprised places that nobody's really expecting. It's going to be a big surprise. And so I was racking my brain trying to figure out, okay, how could they possibly surprise us? And then last night I got my answers. The new awakening that's coming now is going to be from the Native Indians. They're going to be reclaiming not only the United States, but this planet. And they're going to be helping to shift the energies into a fifth density. So I just wanted to let everybody know that the time is now, and we are going to be moving in that direction. Second of all, I also had a vision where I was talking to a friend and I was discussing some of the things that are going on in our environment, which were kind of on the negative side. And then I was flashed forward about 2 weeks and everything's going to change and all of the negativity that we're experiencing now is going to be lifted to a large portion, and then the challenges begin to recreate our new paradigm. So that falls right in alignment with my 2011 predictions. So that is what I see coming. 3 years ago, I believe it is, I wrote how these industries would be changing, and I had no clue how. And then last year, I wrote down what was wrong with our paradigm and where we needed to change it, which fits right in alignment with the year before and then with this year. This year, I really see some good stuff coming because people are getting involved and making the changes happen in masses. We're not waiting for one person to come save us anymore. Well, we're all jumping in and doing our part. And that has a lot to do with a lot of people listening to this show, because if you're listening to this show, chances are very high you're a starseed. And if you're a starseed, you came here for one reason and one reason only, and that is to shift us into 5D. So I have a message for you. Get to work. It's time. Now, is there anything in particular that you would like me to address with the 2011 predictions?
I think if you would just, you know, read it like you wrote it, it's just so perfect.
Well, I can't read it because I don't have it in front of me, but it's available on Blog Talk, and it's also on all my sites. But let me just give you a nutshell version of it. I really see there a shift in the school systems. We've been dummied down for a purpose, and that's all well and good. But now I see that people are going to be hungrier for more education and more knowledge and really wanting to get to the truth. The educational system is going to have to change with those demands. So I do see a change up with that. I see actually an internet-based school as well that will be available 24/7 and probably in every language. So anybody that wants to learn can. And I don't see a fee for this. I see if it is a fee, it's going to be very low. But there's going to be a push behind us getting the knowledge that we want so we can start making the changes that we need. Medical is going to change, of course. I think everybody pretty much knows that the medicines that are out there in Western medicine aren't really harmonizing with our body or our frequency. And as we go more crystalline, we're going to need different medicines as well, which has to do with plant-based, more organic, and a frequency. So you're going to see a lot more tuning forks, a lot more sound, and a lot more light therapy as well being introduced into our medicine. I also see, too, that there seems like there's going to be a big shift in our judicial system. I don't see it being where everybody wants to sue everybody, and it's just a lose-lose, ugly situation. So I see a big shift coming with that and almost the legal system going out the window. We're going to have some kind of, and this is just to start, but we're going to have some kind of contractual agreement that is more of a handshake type of deal. But I don't see the rivalry and the fighting as much as what has been in the past. I don't see people being as greedy. I see people working together more in communities and wanting more of a healthy living lifestyle. And that is true for your for all parts of your body, your ether system, your energy system, your physical system, your spiritual system, and then your galactic system. That knowledge right there, the galactic knowledge, is something new that's going to start coming in, I believe, next year. And that's going to be really exciting because then people are going to finally go, okay, we made it. We're here. Woohoo! So that's what I see coming. Relationships changing as well. I actually see where women are not wanting to, tolerate the bad boy behavior so that we can have a mate. We don't need that anymore. And we're setting higher standards because we're doing it for ourselves. And I see the men wanting to help us jump on board and be a part of that. So I see men starting to become more 5D thinking, more loving, more less ego, less greed, and less materialistic, and getting their priorities straight as well for the better of all. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. So, absolutely. I agree with everything you said.
I see a big difference. The other thing that I see that I could just jump for joy, because I'm a naturalist. I love Mother Earth. I love being outside. I grow everything. I love birds and animals. And I see a return of a lot of animals that we thought were extinct. I see trees being planted in the droves. The other thing I see, too, this is kind of odd, but I see cement and asphalt being dug up and put away or being used for other purposes, but this will free up Mother Earth so she can breathe and expand as she needs to. I also see housing changing. I don't see us having square houses. They're inefficient. I see houses that are more round, and I see houses that are semi-built into the earth, so that we are protected by Mother Nature and we don't have the fluctuation of the heat and the coolness or the cold or the snow. I also see free energy. I think we've already had it. And what's kind of ironic is I see people that are completely unexpected, a garbage man or a mailman, or who will automatically wake up and have the codes or the knowledge of how to create more free knowledge or free energy. So I see the computer age changing. I see the computer system becoming a lot more efficient, faster. I also see that a lot of things that we're being charged for now is going to be free. I don't think we're going to have to pay for registration or insurance or health insurance or any of that stuff, because the way that we move around is going to change, but we're going to become more responsible citizens. So I see a big change in that. The other thing that I see too is somehow it's like we can read the auras, or we can read the thoughts of the other person. We're becoming more sensitive. And I just don't see people having like this two-faced mentality. The ones that do are going to be ignored and kind of put in the back room and not really befriended, because you know that it's not genuine. And those that really have love in their heart with boundaries, that those people are going to be really successful, and they're going to be sought after as a friend or a companion or lover or what have you. So I just see us migrating more in that direction. The other thing that I get too is I get across our atmosphere this sense of peace. Like right now, you can just sense the tension. There's so much going on so fast. But I sense that there's going to be just this peace in the air. I don't get the news. I think a lot of the news stations are going by the wayside. I don't think that we're going to be reporting on the bad stuff anymore. It's going to be reporting on the good stuff and how we're moving together and where you can get this help or that help. I see communities coming together and putting services together to help the people that might be behind them that needs mentors or needs better health so that they can raise their vibration and live happily. So I see a lot of community work and people helping other people. Traveling will become more fluid in the future, where we go to other countries and meet our brothers and sisters over in other countries, and we learn what they have to teach us. That's why we came here. But I think it's going to take about 2 years, because we're going to have to clean ourselves up at home first and get our houses straight. But you're going to see people that have been hibernating for a long time come out of their houses and want to be part of this new reality that we're creating. Get out of the house, meet your neighbors, join together, what can I do? And just people offering whatever service that they're best at, and it's exactly what we need. So, and there's going to be an acceptance for everybody. There's not going to be this judgment, oh, you've got a Louis Vuitton purse, or you got it. People aren't going to care about that. It's going to be an acceptance, and if you really need my Louis Vuitton purse, here you go, take it, because I don't enjoy it as much as you do. So I don't see the rivalry. I just see that people, the other thing that I see too is that people that have jobs that are, let's say, really engrossed in this duality, that are into, you know, having to steal or rob to get ahead or get noticed or get advanced, I just see them leaving their jobs. Just one day, I'm not doing this anymore, and they're going to change. It's almost overnight they're going to wake up and go, I can't do this job anymore. It's not me. It's ugly. I don't want to be a part of that. I need to do something different. And when they change, they're going to take that knowledge with them to be able to put a new system together that doesn't have the greed and the competition and all that. It's going to be more for living as one and helping everybody. So I do see that coming. The other thing that I see too, now this, some of this stuff is not in my predictions. I'm seeing it as I'm talking to you. But as we start to work more with Mother Nature, I also see where wildlife is going to work within us and be able to habitate with us. So I see like communities where you might have a lot of deer that come in and sleep on the lawns, and you'll see rabbits jumping around, and it's going to be something that's more welcomed instead of get your guns out, let's shoot them. And the more that your energy raises to this harmony, you're going to notice more animals starting to gravitate towards us and wanting to live amongst us. And I think that that's when you're really going to see people's hearts sing. I think this is one big part that we've all been missing, is living one with nature. I think that more parents are going to get their kids involved in doing native ceremonies. I see people getting together and going to be with the Hopi Indians or different indigenous Indians and learning from them and actually being able to retrace their roots, either physically or just knowing it on a subconscious level. And that's going to bring a lot of peace and acceptance with people. I don't see people being judged by how big your house is. I don't see people being judged because you drive a Mercedes or a BMW. That's out the window. It's working together and rolling up your sleeves and making your community this wonderful place to be. I really see this coming. I don't think it's going to take us that long to clean up our environment. Once we get the chemtrails stopped, the BP oil thing stopped, I think that we've got technology and we've got resources that we can clean this planet up very quickly. And I think that's going to be the first thing that we do. And that's when everybody really starts to get a sense of who they are. So do you guys have any questions or do you want to add anything?
Well, I have something to add to two things that you've said. First of all, the Native American Indians, I do agree with what you're saying, and some of their bloodlines are being activated into their starseed knowingness, and they're connected way back to Atlantis also. And as I told you earlier today when we talked, in the future, I do see a Native American Indian being president of our country. So, yes, I think that they have a very, very big part. And as far as the environmental technologies, these are coming out one right after another. I know of a technology that they're putting on asphalt now to heat. It is a way of heating and reflecting light and using it for power sources. That came to mind when you mentioned the asphalt. And remember, we have just, you know, millions of walk-ins on this planet from the Pleiades, and they're in motion, and they're doing things, and they are helping to create the new Earth that we need here. And so everything that you said is in a futuristic program. I happen to agree with it. Arielle, what do you have to say?
I can't wait. It would be such a refreshing change. It's the way we all have known it can be, and knowing that it's so close at hand, it's really exciting.
Yeah, we're living in one of probably the most exciting times of our history, and where we can be a part of it. And, you know, our decisions of what we decide to do in our everyday lives all points to the evolution of our people and our planet. So it's in motion, it's happening, you know, and although we have some really bad news, you know, to watch on TV and things that are happening, it's just, you know, if the news were really focused on the wonderful things that were happening, it would blow people's minds. And hopefully, you know, Oprah with her new network, she's going to be able to be in a position, you know, to release some of this information, so including disclosure. So, I'm very excited about the things that are coming for us.
Well, I do want to mention, Lavendar, that Catherine is here.
Oh, okay.
So,
okay,
shall we have the questions to follow after you and Catherine talk?
And Muggsy, will you be available to take some questions from people that call in a little bit?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, so we'll go ahead with Catherine, and then we'll have questions for Catherine, and then if someone wants to talk to Muggsy, are you ready to maybe do some readings for them? Are you willing to do that?
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
Okay, good. Okay.
All right, then.
Okay.
We'll be back with Muggsy in just a little bit, but now we are going to introduce Catherine Peters-Brinkley. Hello, Catherine. It's Arielle and Lavendar. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm sorry that I had a problem getting on. I've been holding on for the entire show, and I found what Muggsy had to say absolutely fascinating. And I'm with you, Arielle. I can't wait. But I have a question, and if I can pose it to all three of you before we start our discussion. When Muggsy talks about, and not just Muggsy, but I've heard a lot of people say that just overnight people are going to wake up. Just overnight they're going to be aware. What's going to happen to make these people awake and aware and conscious overnight?
Oh, I think it's the disclosure event. That's what
okay.
I think. I think that when that veil gets ripped off, everywhere,
mm-hmm.
that it's going to be there's going to be a flood of energetics that takes place,
mm-hmm.
because people's DNA and people sitting back in the forest or people that have been afraid to come forward, it's going to activate them in such a place that they're going to just go into motion. And this will help counteract the fears that will take place simultaneously, of course. And so, yeah, I think it has to do with disclosure. I think that when people are allowed to see the truth about their heritage, about our sister planets and beings from other places, and they start acknowledging, oh, gee, this is another part of my family, and I think it's going to be very, very exciting. I think all these years that we've been watching Star Trek and science fiction movies has been getting a lot of people ready. You know, the impossible becomes the inevitable. And I really don't think it's going to be that hard of a stretch. I think that it will be a snap, crackle, and pop. And it will just... It'll just propel us into, a whole new way of thinking and living. And, of course, we're going to have a lot of fear with this. But we have counterbalances in place. So,
that's what I was wondering.
Yeah, I trust that.
Well, in my visions, I've seen that not only are those of us who are here bringing down the light, we're actually anchoring it in and making it more and more available and accessible every day that we do our work, but with what you said about after disclosure and perhaps even after there's a landing or perhaps before, I have seen the emission of such a peaceful and loving energetic array, a light, whatever you want to call it, that would kind of just hover in the air to make people more acceptable, more accepting of the inevitable, of, you know, us actually being visited by, in mass, extraterrestrials. I think it has to be something more than they get the news that we're not alone, because people have known that, and so many people are still in so much fear and so opinionated about, you know, how they are supposed to react to aliens from other planets, that I think we're going to have some kind of celestial help in all this. There's going to be like a cosmic ray of love and acceptance that we're all going to be bathing in that helps this awakening. Does that make sense?
Yes, and just let me add to that, you know, when you think of the network of computers and cell phones and communication grids that are set up on the planet, and, once that's activated by celestial beings, it will also be part of the awakening, and the energies that come down will absolutely infiltrate through our satellites, through our computers, through every form of technology. Remember, they have technologies that can override all of those technologies.
Right.
So you're talking about an energy that comes down to do that. That's one of the ways they'll do it.
Okay. I just wanted to ask that. Is Muggsy still on? Does she have anything to add,
Muggsy,
about that?
Muggsy, you're on the air if you want to add to that.
What I actually was visualizing, and I don't know how this fits in, but I was seeing a person like laying in bed, and they're only a part of themselves. And in the middle of the night, it's like they get integrated with their full sense of knowing of who they are. And they wake up in the morning and go, this is crap. What am I doing? So I didn't get the fear. I wasn't picking up on the side that Lavendar was. I was actually watching an individual get integrated with their whole spirit self, which brought in their consciousness that they're not living their life the way that they really wanted to. They kind of got off track and bought into this whole false reality, and they just know it in the morning. They're going to wake up, and it's almost going to seem like they have a walk-in, but it's actually themselves getting integrated together as one.
And that's true also. There'll be walk-ins, there'll be integration, there'll be these technologies that come down and beam to the network of computers on the planet. It's going to be a simultaneous energized bunny.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think the network of
starseed communities that exists all over the globe at that same time, they will also receive instructions on how to proceed, and that would be in unity in emitting this stabilizing light.
Yeah, because their DNA packets will explode.
That's right. I mean, in a good way.
Yes.
Yeah. they'll be triggered.
Yeah.
Yes, and I think that this awakening that Muggsy is talking about has already been programmed and designed, that a single switch could be flipped, and the process starts in various ways for various people, but it's the same process.
Right.
And I think that the process has been underway for quite a while. I think it was Ariel who said, or Lavendar, I can't remember who, that we've been watching the movies, the Star Trek, and all the different things through the years, and Star Wars. It's all been preparing us. And most importantly, in recent years, I feel the crop circles have been activating codes and getting people ready for this great shift in awareness as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
No doubt.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Okay, Catherine, are you ready to talk to us about some of your experiences?
I certainly am. I've been looking forward to it, and thank you so much for inviting me back.
And by the way, on last week's show, you really stimulated a lot of people into thinking about children and the raising of these starseed children.
Mm-hmm.
I had several emails and... in fact, I had such a response that's why I called you, and I said, oh, please come back and talk some more, because people really wanted to hear more about what you had to say. And so that's why we're, going further with some of your discussions tonight. But I just wanted you to know the response was tremendous, and that so many people have so many star children out there.
Yes.
And although some of us don't have children, we're here for the star children and for the indigos and the crystal children, because we know that this new evolutionary group that's on the planet will be in charge of the planet long after we're gone.
Exactly.
So,
and any of those...
why don't we talk a little bit about, if you would take us through maybe the time when you became pregnant, and just tell us that story.
Well, there's two very fascinating stories, so I'll start with the first one, which was 1989. I was living in the little town in Nevada that I told you about last week, and a girlfriend and I had been in business together. She had a bookstore in the front of the building, and I did readings and sold crystals, et cetera, in the back of the building. And she met a young man and decided that she wanted to leave Nevada and move to Washington. He was in the Navy and was stationed at... I think it's Whidbey Island. So we decided that I would help her make this move. we packed up everything that she was going to take, and I packed up the four children that I had, and we all got into my van conversion, and we drove to Whidbey Island. On the way, we stopped at Mount Shasta, and I was just agog at the energy there. I had never visited there before. I thought it was absolutely beautiful. This was in May of 1989. I went ahead and took her up all the way to Whidbey Island, unpacked her things, and then came back by myself with my four children. And again, we stopped at Mount Shasta on the way. It was kind of like the midpoint. Well, the night that we stayed, on the way back, I found a little hotel. I got the kids all settled into bed. I think I was in bed with a couple of them. And I remember falling asleep about 9 and waking up around midnight and looking up at the ceiling. I was lying on my back, and all of a sudden I saw the ceiling start to open. And I thought, okay, am I dreaming? I pinched myself. No, absolutely not. I'm not dreaming. And it just kept coming apart further and further. And then this little head peeked down at me. And from the look of the eyes and the shape of the face, you would think that this was a gray. But it wasn't gray. It was more like a green. And then there was another little head that popped out. And I remember being really, really panicked. But I couldn't make a sound. I couldn't move a muscle. I wake up in the morning. I vaguely remember this. Oh, well, get my kids together, get into the van. On the way home, we make a pit stop so everybody can empty their tank. What I forgot to tell you at the beginning of that story is that I was pregnant. I'm sorry, I was 4 months pregnant at the time. I go into the restroom, and I'm spotting. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, you know, I'm about 10 hours from home, and I'm starting to bleed. I'm by myself. I've got the kids. I just have to get there as fast as I can. When I got home that day, I called my doctor, and I said, I'm having a problem with this pregnancy. I'm starting to bleed. He said, well, you know, go on over to the hospital. I'll set up an ultrasound for you. I said, all right. So I go in, and thank God the girl who was going to be conducting the ultrasound was a friend of mine. So we're chatting away, and she's looking at her screen, and they're not supposed to share any information with you. They're just supposed to give the report to the doctor, and he comes back to you. But she said to me, Catherine, I'm not quite sure what I'm seeing here. And I said, what do you mean? And she said, well, you know, your uterus measures 16 weeks pregnant, and your placenta measures 16 weeks pregnant. But there's no baby. And I'm like, what do you mean there's no baby? That's not possible, there's no baby. I'd already had an ultrasound. I'd heard the heartbeat. I'd seen the image. What do you mean there's no baby? And she said, I don't understand this. At this duration of pregnancy, there's no way there wouldn't be a fetus. You know, earlier on, I believe up to 8 weeks or so, if the body miscarries, then the baby could be naturally reabsorbed into the body, into the system of the mother, but it can't happen at this stage. I don't know what to tell you. I remember lying there and just being filled from head to toe with rage. I was so angry. It's like it all came back to me. I knew what they had done. I wanted my baby back. And I went home and I pounded my pillow and I just screamed at the heavens, bring my baby back. So about 3 months later, I was pregnant again. And when I realized this had happened, I looked at my husband, he looked at me, and he's like, how did this happen? Because we weren't in the best of times. And I said, I have no idea. But I really did. I didn't think that he probably could deal with the fact that they had taken the baby. I had demanded I wanted my baby back, and they had brought my baby back. But that's exactly what happened. And when Angelica Ariel was born, I remember looking at her and thinking how very different she looked from all the other children. I have very dark hair and green eyes. My ex had light brown hair and very dark brown eyes. And Angel was the first of my babies to be born with very white hair and very blue eyes. And she looked very alien. I'll have to send a picture that you can put up so that people who have just heard me say that can actually see the way she looked. She was a beautiful baby, but there was something very different about her. And there has been ever since she was born. So do you pick up anything on all of that, Lavendar?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Please share.
Yeah, I have been very, I've been tracking for many, many years different women that have had experiences with, you know, they're pregnant for 2 or 3 months, and then, of course, then there's no baby. And they go, well, what happened to my baby?
Mm-hmm.
I just can't tell you how many stories I have about this. One particular story that relates to it was a woman that was in North Carolina, and I visited her, and she, you know, took the time to explain to me the different kinds of babies that she'd had. And she said she had to stop going into town because she'd be like, you know, 4 or 5 months pregnant, and then they come and take the baby and keep it for a while, and then she'd go into town, and then she wasn't pregnant, and the next time she'd go into town, she was pregnant, so the people of the town started talking. She said, I just had to stop going to town, because they just kept switching them back and forth, and what would happen is they would take them aboard, and they would do certain things to them, and then they would bring them back, and then at the end, they would take them. Every one of them. She never got to raise any of them.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, she did this for, oh, I think about 10 years. And she was one of the people that I interviewed and recorded. And the vanishing star children, that they were actually growing aboard ship. And so a lot of them, I have a feeling, though, that yours has to do with who you are. And, an angel, I think that, remember, I talked to you about her the other day.
Mm-hmm.
She has a different kind of mission. And she'll be part of a really wonderful group of beings that have to do with bringing in so much light on the planet. And she has an extra strand of DNA. And that's just part of the gift that's been given to her.
Well, you know, it's an amazing story because, as I said, she's always been very special, very different. Angel truly lives up to her name in her beauty, her grace, her love, her compassion. And as a little girl, she was always the one to welcome the strangers and give away her lunch money or give away her lunch or... Just last week she told me she was at a gas station and this girl was outside in a pair of pajamas and she went into her car and found a coat and just gave it to the girl. And the girl says, well, how do I get this back to you? And she's like, you don't have to. It's Christmas. It's a gift. And, you know, I mean, she's always been that way. And I remember channeling once that she had come back from the future, that she was what they called a time jumper. And that she had brought a lot of the light, and especially in her voice. She sings, and she has a very special quality to her voice, and that she was here to bring the light through her voice.
How and old is she now?
She's 20 now.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. And very, very much into her music. Still a little shy. I think that's going to go away. But it has been a very, very interesting journey with her to see. And of course she's had so many experiences with beings in her room. We talked about the last time they were kind of working on her when she woke up from a nap over the weekend, and she said that this happens quite often, or at night she'll hear like the whirl of the ships and then, you know, fall asleep and not know what happened in the night. So I think it's an ongoing process with Angel. Not one that she's very happy about yet, I can tell you that.
Yeah, well, sometimes, I remember I told you that, you know, sometimes they don't have very good bedside manners.
Yeah, I love that line. Absolutely, they don't, because, you know, their mission is different. They're not emotionally invested in it. They just want to get in and get the job done.
But, you know, sometimes we're here to teach them, too. And it's like, look, you know, here's the parameters. If you want to come and visit me, you know, your bedside manner has to change.
Right.
And you can ask for that. A lot of
well,
people
don't
know they can ask for that, but they can.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about your second experience.
Wow.
Can you tell me about in Egypt?
In Egypt, this was really something. Well, about 10 years after Angel, one of my older girls was having a birthday. I think it was her 20th birthday. And I asked her, where do you want to go? Pick a place anywhere in the world and let's just take a trip, just the two of us. I had taken my oldest daughter on a cruise that I'd never taken a cruise before, and that's what we did. It must have been her 21st birthday, because that's what I did for Elizabeth's 21st birthday. So I told Alex, let's do something for yours. And she wanted to go to Egypt. And my goodness, you know, my screen name is I Am Isis. I feel such allegiance and love for her that I was crazy for the idea of being able to go over there and see the pyramids and just bask in all that Isis energy. So we made here again, I'm pregnant. I'm about 3 months pregnant. And doctor said I'd be fine, no problem. It's a long trip. I think it took us about 19 hours to get there and 21 hours to get back. So he said, go, have a good time. And we did. We had a wonderful time. And we had been there about a week. And it was Halloween, this particular night, that we went to the Temple of Luxor in Karnak. And the people that were leading the group were highly spiritual, very in tune. Loved them both, a husband and wife team. And we were doing meditations every day at different sacred sites. And so on this day, it was the heart chakra, and we were going to the back room, I'll just say the back room, I don't know exactly what they call it, at Luxor. And we all sat down on the ground to do this beautiful heart-opening meditation and exercise. And when I stood up to leave the room, it literally felt like someone was vacuuming out my womb. I mean, just like a whoosh. Now, I'd had no cramping. I'd had no nausea. I had been feeling great all day. We had gone to the Valley of the Kings. And here I was miscarrying in one fell swoop. I stood up, and that was the end of it. And I didn't know what to do. I panicked. I thought, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Everybody was leaving the room, and I was just standing there. My daughter is like, Mom, are you okay? And I said, yeah, I'll be fine. Let's just get back to the bus now. I need to go back to the ship. We were on the cruise ship. And so I got back in the bus, and I waited for everyone to come. I was just stunned. I didn't want to upset everybody. I didn't want to, you know, spoil the evening, but I just had to get back to the ship as quickly as possible. And when I did, I called the cruise organizer and I said, you know, I think I've just had a miscarriage. And she called the doctor, and he gave me shots to stop the bleeding. He wanted to care flight me back to Cairo. I said, no, I don't want to do that. If I can just be alone and sit with this and go into meditation, I'll be fine. I'm not going to bleed to death. I'll be okay, and I can go back to Cairo with the rest of the group in the morning, because the last thing that we were going to do was go into the King's Chamber at the Pyramid of Giza. And I wasn't able to accompany everybody in there that day, but we waited a day to give me the strength. And then the next morning after the miscarriage, my daughter took the babies, what there was of them, and put in a little box that I had received at a perfumery in Egypt the day before. And they went to the temple of Sekhmet, who is the lioness goddess who protects children. And they did a ceremony and passed around the twins in the box and said a prayer. And I brought that box back home with me, with the twins in it. And about a week after I got back to Las Vegas, I was told by someone that there was also a temple of Sekhmet in the desert outside of Las Vegas, that a mother years ago had heard that if she made the journey from, I think she believed she lived in Texas, and she was told that if she made the journey from Texas to Egypt and prayed and made offerings at the temple of Sekhmet, she could conceive a baby. And she had been trying for like a dozen years and had never been able to get pregnant. And after that trip to Egypt, she came back. And one of the promises that she made if she got pregnant was that she would build a temple for Sekhmet in the United States. And when she came back, she did get pregnant and was so overjoyed with that. She was making a trip to Nevada and saw this land out by Nellis Air Force Base. I'm sorry, not Nellis, it's Indian Springs. And she saw this land and built this temple to Sekhmet. So I wanted to see it because that's where the babies had been blessed. And I decided that that's where I was going to bury them. And so my husband and I and three of my daughters, we went out there and put the babies in the ground and surrounded the grave with crystals and a statue of Sekhmet that I had brought back from Egypt. 6 months later, I decided to go back out just to be near them, just to see the grave. Sekhmet was gone. The crystals were gone. The babies were gone. Everything else around that area, because people, you know, they do that. They build little things. They bury little treasured animals and so forth and so on out there. They have ceremonies every full moon, and everything was in place except that grave. And I just couldn't believe it. And my husband speculated that they had come and taken what was left. The DNA was very important, even though they were gone. And that's that story.
That one just really, really touches me. I just, that's hard. That's hard.
It probably was one of the most difficult things I've done. And then to have to come back home, you know, after a miscarriage, you don't feel good. There is a lot of grieving, and there's a lot of physical discomfort. There's a lot of blood loss, and it was a long, long trip, and I just kept thinking, why? And the people on the trip were all so wonderful, and the leaders had said to me, and this was the first time I heard this, Lavendar, I don't know if I shared this with you, he told me that he had been, you know, studying this and meditating on this and had a feeling about me since the first time he met me. And he said, you know, you are of the sacred bloodline. And part of what you did here was part of the bleeding heart. And it was necessary for you to leave your blood, if not your twins, in Egypt. Well, I didn't leave the twins there, but I did leave my blood there. And he said it was the beginning of what was going to be a very long and interesting path for me.
Wow. Well, I know that was kind of difficult for you to tell this story tonight, but I know our listeners are really just glued to listening to everything you have to say about it. And I'd like to ask Arielle and Muggsy their comments, and also Sierra, anyone that wants to speak. Ariel, why don't you go first?
Well, I'm a little speechless after that story. I'm trying to put myself in your place, Catherine, and I just can't imagine the shock.
And being 12,000 miles from home.
And being 12,000 miles from home and knowing that it was not your, I don't want to say it was, not that, that it was your fault, but it was something that was out of your control.
Yeah,
and
totally.
And you knew that it was an extraterrestrial procedure.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't imagine how you dealt with that.
I don't think I did for a long time. It was very, very difficult because I didn't understand it. Why? But yet I knew that the ramifications of it were so far-reaching, so much bigger than me. you know, and I could only pray that the sacrifice made, because that's what I felt I'd done, what I'd been through, you know, was truly necessary and in some way had shifted things or changed things or was of benefit somehow. But it was very, very hard to deal with that.
Mugsy, we have you on the air as well if you have a comment.
On the first child, I get that the baby's frequency wasn't right, because of the mom and dad didn't have a high enough frequency for the soul that wanted to enter. They removed the fetus and they more or less crystallized her so that she could enter into this reality. So that's what you were actually blessed with, a very high being that couldn't get in here any other way. The second situation was that you, those two children that you had actually, they're using your DNA and your frequency, but in a fifth dimension. So those children needed your DNA, but they're actually in the fifth dimension. And when we start to make the shift, you're going to see them again.
Oh, Mugsy, thank you. Thank you for sharing that. That makes me cry. That's beautiful.
It's the truth. You're going to see him again. Was it a boy and a girl?
It was two boys. From what I understood, it was two boys. This is what the doctor had told me he thought. But you know what? Who knows? You're feeling a boy and a girl?
Yeah, I'm getting a boy and a girl, and they work together. And they needed your bloodline for some reason. And you had them for the right amount of time, but then they were actually taken and then kind of they were morphed into more of a light beam. But they needed your DNA frequency for some reason, and I don't know what that is. Maybe Lavendar knows.
And I would imagine that losing them in Egypt, well, we all know there's nothing that happens by chance, so that had to play in there somehow that I made that journey.
Well, I think it was an easier transition. I don't know if there's portals or something, but it was an easier transition for them to make it, to do what they were doing.
That makes perfect sense.
And maybe Lavendar can elaborate on that, because I only know what I get, and then she can explain it.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you for sharing that. I'll see them again.
Well, what I have, I agree with you, Mugsy. You're really right on with what you're saying. I'll have to probably think about this some more before I really elaborate. But I want to say to you, Catherine, that with these two experiences, it gives you the grounding to help these other women that are going to come forward in your lifetime that have had these experiences. And you're going to be able to help them to manage their thinking and their emotions and their alignments in order to deal with the rest of their life having these experiences. I can't tell you how many, many women out there have these similar stories, and they can't tell anybody. They're afraid to talk about it.
Yeah.
And through the years that I have, you know, found these women, there was actually a lady by the name of Carol Dennis who wrote a book on something called The Vanishing Twins. And she had done a lot of research. And I probably need to find her again, because she spent about, oh, I don't know, 3 or 4 months just on the road tracking down these women that had these vanishing twins experiences. So it's really out there. It's been quiet. People really haven't been talking about it. But I think by you coming forward now, you're going to be finding more and more of these women, and you can help them.
Oh, I'd be more than happy to. I'd be more than happy to. If they write to you, you can put them in touch with me.
Okay. Great.
It's one of those life-altering situations, experiences that, you know, even as we sit and we talk about it now, I have no way to truly convey to you the depth of my feelings. After all these years, you know, it still is something that's very painful. And I think for others who have had this experience, we certainly need to be there to support one another. So anything
that
I can do to help.
And you have the courage to speak out, you see. And,
oh, absolutely.
And as you're growing with, you know, daily with knowledge and with how things are operating from sky to earth, you know, it's given you the grounding to go forward, and that's truly a blessing for all of us.
Oh, thank you. And yes, I do agree. It has given me the grounding and the strength.
So maybe we should ask Sierra at this time. Ariel, do you want to click in and see what Sierra has to say?
Okay, but before I do that, can you give us a basic scenario of the book that Carol Dennis wrote about the vanishing twins? Because they're very different. They're different permutations of how that transpires.
I don't have the book in front of me. I would like to maybe do that in next week's show, because I there's some things that come to mind about it, but I want to be more articulate. So, and next week I'll find the Vanishing Twin book, and we'll have a little dissertation about it, if you don't mind.
Okay. Okay, let's talk to Sierra. Hello, Sierra, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, Sierra.
How are you, Catherine? Thank you so much for being here and sharing such a touching story. First of all, you should know that I had a child that was taken at almost 5 months. And the very interesting thing about that is that how my story differs a little bit and is interesting for people to listen to is that I am gay and was not having sex with men, and so it's irrefutable that it was anything other than
right
this situation. Mm-hmm. And it went so far as to losing the child and getting so angry. I was in the military. I started digging, and Men in Black showed up and took me to NORAD and showed me a spacecraft, a dead alien, and technology of beaming a Pepsi can from one side of the room to the other. And then basically threatened me and everybody that I know, and I disappeared. I literally went incognito. I changed my name. I didn't have a checking account or a credit card for the longest time. And finally just came forward last year when I started having some high strangeness and got connected with Lavendar. But it truly is. You just so spoke it so well, the experience of being pregnant for so long and then having that baby taken. And I screamed and cried and stomped. And
mm-hmm.
It's just beyond words, the feeling of the anger. And
it is.
I wish that they would have brought a child back to me, but it didn't work out that way. It wasn't meant to be. And you should know that there are so many women in the chat room right now, at least five or six that I could see, that have had miscarriages and really feel the pain of what you experienced and understanding of what it happened. But it just not only touches women who have had babies taken, but it touches women as a whole. And so you have such a message. You have so much to bring to women as a whole.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And, you know, I'm just wondering, because after Angel, that was going to be it for me. I wasn't going to have any more children. And my marriage was going down the tubes. There was no doubt about it at that point. And then I wound up pregnant again.
Mm.
And my husband actually asked me if I was having an affair because of you. You know, he said, well. But I wound up pregnant again, and my baby daughter Adriana, she's very much like Angel. They both have those gorgeous eyes, and she too is very special. So I think that, not that they tried to make up for what they'd done, because how do you make up for that? And then 10 years later, you know, with the twins, but it was a gift to me to have her. And then I knew, I don't know, there was just a calming that came over me about the first incident when Adriana was born. But and an interesting thing, too, when Angel was taken, on the 30th of May, many years later after I met my husband, I found out that he had had open heart surgery and his second near-death experience on the 30th of May, that same 30th of May, 1989. So I just think that there's so many things that are connected and are happening. And I think I keep my sanity with all of that by believing that, you know, I agreed to be of service. And I look at my beautiful children and I just think, okay, all of this was necessary for the higher cause that we all serve.
Absolutely. And I take the same route with it. I have something, a message to bring. And I would really love to be have conversation with you about creating something as a support for women who have had the same experiences.
That
and,
would thrill me.
Yeah, I would. I really like to create something with you like that for not only our Starseeds here, Starseed Academy, but others that will find their way to it, because the women need the support because they often don't know what we know. And they, it's like occurs as this thing that just happened, and that's the way it was for me for many, many years, that I was just victimized. And it wasn't until meeting Lavendar and having the conversations that I did that I really understood that I have a message and I have a job to do and support to have, to create for women out there that have had these experiences so that they can have a better understanding and they can evolve and bring something to others for it.
Well, I am so proud of you, and I would be happy to do anything with you in that direction. And we just praise you, our girl savior, Lavendar. You've come to all of our rescues.
Yes.
We love you.
Well, I kind of have my PhD in this, I'm sorry to say. Or maybe I should be happy about it, but for many, many years, it was very troubling to me. But I've come to peace with it. I've come to peace with it.
Well, we're just all so glad you're here. Thank you.
Sierra, do we have any questions from the chat room?
Oh, we sure do. One, two, three, four, five or six different questions for the chat room from the chat room. There is one, a couple of them directed at Catherine. There is a listener who's interested in your ascendant and your rising of your natal chart. If you would, if you are okay with giving that information, they were interested.
My ascendant and my rising, that's the same thing. That's Taurus.
Gotcha. So it's Taurus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great.
I am a Taurus with Taurus rising.
Perfect. And then we've got several different questions here, and it can go either way between Catherine or Lavendar. And this is sort of a loaded question, but if we can kind of do the short version, that would be great. What is the reason for the aliens and their involvement with the babies?
I guess I'll take that one.
You take that one.
There are so many different species that have agreed to do DNA integration to bring the light in so many different ways. And there's so, I don't even know how to count how many there are because they're just varied. But the main purpose is to integrate and to bring our stellar sisters and brothers from other planets and integrate them into Earth. And also to be able to have an openness in the universe throughout, you know, that is the main goal, is for all of us to be able to work together and to have a very peaceful situation, not only on this planet, but the emotional part of the Earthlings and the things that are here. Other species really know that that's an intricate part of their development. So it goes both ways. I hope that I've answered that sufficiently. Catherine, do you have anything you want to add to that?
You said it so well. I have heard over and over that these experiments are being done to kind of upgrade the human. I think the overall point of view is or the overall goal is to create the divine human with our all of our strands in place, with our love and compassion solidly anchored in the DNA, as well as our knowledge and mental capabilities. So they're splicing and dicing just like they did when they first came to this planet to create, you know, the most optimum being for this environment. So as we move into higher dimensions, they are elevating and taking everything up to higher levels.
Yeah, it's all about evolution, all of it.
Can I add something?
Yeah,
sure. Thanks. I mean, I agree with what you guys have said, but there's one other explanation. There's a lot of souls that want our DNA, but they don't want to live in this 3D paradigm. So they're popping in, getting the DNA, and then popping out. And they're taking that DNA with them to another dimension.
Because that's part of an experiment also.
Right.
You know, we have the parallel Earth, for example. So, yes, that's true.
Okay, I'm done now.
Okay, but what Mug said, even that popping in and popping out, they're still using it elsewhere. Is this what you're saying, Lavendar, to evolve their race?
Absolutely.
Okay. So it's all the same. But some of them just don't want to live here.
Yeah, it's not their rites of passage to be here.
Okay. And let me ask you, because I always do with this when we talk, is that okay with us? For those that pop in and out, is that okay? Have they given their permission for that?
You know, some of them have and some of them haven't.
Okay.
There's been a lot of hijacking going on throughout these experiments, and I hope that gets calmed down.
Yes.
I'm a good example of that. This is Sierra. I had this conversation with Lavendar, and we came to the same conclusion that because of my Pleiadian DNA, I was kind of hijacked a little bit when I joined the military. And although it's ultimately going to be to the best of everyone's benefit, it has really taken some real work to get okay about that.
Exactly. I understand that.
Sierra, do we have additional questions from the chat room?
We do. So there's one comment sort of question. So do the aliens know that we're starseeds and choose us specifically?
Well, from my understanding of all of this, yes, absolutely they do. And they've been basically tracking us and staying with us from the time we were born. Is that right, Lavendar?
Absolutely.
I agree. And then the next question is, because I've got several more, let me just get through them. There's a lot of listeners that are experiencing sleeplessness and hot sweats over the last week, 2 weeks, and they wanted to have your comments, your all's comments about that.
Well, there could be, you know, many reasons for sleeplessness, especially with the cell phone towers and the technologies. That's kind of part of it. Of course, those that have been going to the Teton meetings and those that are starseed and are activated, you know, will experience a lot of sleeplessness and perhaps sweats and different body changes because we're getting acclimated to the new energies that are coming to the planet, and we're part of it. So it's you know, it's like peeling an onion, layer after layer after layer. And some people will experience depression. Some will experience, you know, almost a bipolar sense of one day they're very happy, next day they're very sad. Or they'll just, you know, have, you know, this up and down energy. It's like a scale on a piano. You know, somebody's taking their thumb and just running the scale, you know, in your spine. And you're going, wow, what was that? And everyone's different, depending on, you know, the starseed that you're carrying, depending on your soul records, depending on you know, there's a whole list of things that you can, you know, go down your checklist and say, okay, I have that, I have this, and that, you know, it's not one thing. There's not just a reason for anything anymore. It's like there's combinations of things that come together that propel us into these experiences.
Can I interject something here?
Mm-hmm.
That regardless of what unusual symptoms you may be experiencing, whether it's sleeplessness or the you know, mood swings or the sweats or this or that, if you are aligned and living in your natural state, just know that it is a part of a process of upliftment, and you will come to a better place because of it. I guess it could almost be considered, you know, like the pain of giving birth is so worth it. If you ask, you know, Catherine, the you know, going into labor is not a fun thing. But
no.
The result of it is something that you would do it over and over and over again because it's really, really worth it. So as long as you are aligned and living in your natural state, whatever maybe uncomfortable symptoms you're experiencing, just tough it out and know that you're going to come to a much better spot.
I think that was very well said. And I also want to add that, you know, I have seen those checklists where people are saying, you know, with the new energies that are bombarding the planet, people might gain weight, they might lose their hair, they might go into depression, they might find themselves giddy all the time. But the one way, as Sierra said, to stay grounded in all of this is to know who you are. Perhaps there's a need to change the diet to lighter foods, you know, give up all animal products. Maybe you need to spend more time in meditation and prayer. Or just when those moments come, talk to yourself about it. Say, okay, I know here's another influx of energy, and I give my body permission to be calm as we go through this process together. But it's just staying conscious. It's really paying attention. And if we all do that, we'll be just fine. And like Sierra says, when it does happen, just realize it's for the best.
I always think chocolate makes it better.
I do too.
Absolutely.
That's kind of becoming our starseed motto.
It is.
By the bedside.
I'm telling you,
nothing.
It's goddess food.
Well, like we said at many, many radio shows ago, that chocolate was actually brought here from the Pleiades, so it can't be all bad.
No way.
Right.
No way. I love it.
Okay,
any more questions? Any more questions from the chat room, Sierra?
Yes. How do we discern between the lower ETs and the higher vibrational ETs?
Good question. As Lavendar has said many times, you know them by the fruits they bear. It is not what they say, it's what they do and what kind of effect they have on your life. If a person brings you empowerment, then they're a higher being. If they bring you cancellation or not feeling good about yourself or anything that's negative, then it's real easy to tell.
Yeah, you said it very well. It's, you know, I spent many years, you know, coming down to a very simple formula. You know, I was getting so extreme on tracking on so many different levels, and finally one day I said, that's it, it's enough. We just need to get it really down so simple. And it has to do with energetics. And so if a being comes and, you know, starts asking you to do things and turn your life over to them, right away you don't turn your life over to anyone. But it's like, over a period of time, you're going to know exactly the alignment of the higher being that's coming because of the manifestations that happen in your life. And the empowerment cancellation button, you know, so when so many cancellations start happening, you go, you know what, you're just out of here now. And you just close the door, and then you get realigned and go, okay, that was a trickster. I really learned from that one. And then, you know, then another one will come. And then, you see, they will. There's a testing period to see how strong that you are in your alignment. And I've seen both teams do that.
One of my favorite Lavendarisms is energy doesn't lie, only people do.
That's right.
So watch the energy.
And watch your own energy. I know for me, I've learned to trust my senses. You know, certain being around certain people makes the hair stand up on the back of my neck. And if that happens, I'm out of there. And I think people know, right? I mean, sometimes you can just tell by the sound of someone's voice if this energy is good, if it's positive, if it's positive for you. And I think that's how you have to go through life. We have everything we need inside of us to know what's good for us and what's not good for us. So trust your senses, watch what they say, or watch what they do, not what they say. And what did you say about the fruits of their labors? You will know them?
You will know them by the fruits they bear.
Fruits they bear. Very good.
Very well said. Okay, two more questions. Are there any hot spots on the planet that we'll start to see increased UFO activity? Do you know about either one of you ladies?
There are certain areas on the planet where there's kind of docking stations, you know, in certain places, you know. I would say that Arizona is a good place to start because of some of the things that have been buried under the ground there, especially out at Holbrook, at that crater. Also the Tetons, in places in Colorado, in the mountain areas, Mount Shasta, of course. I can't forget Mount Shasta. I have not been to Mount Shasta, but I know that it's one of the hot spots that where ships come and go from.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of places in the Caribbean around islands, Puerto Rico is one, Aruba is another, in the Yucatan Peninsula outside of the Tulum area. There's so many. It's just
England.
So many.
England.
Yes, in Europe. Around the you know where the lost island of Avalon was. That's another one.
I'm sure Egypt.
Yeah, absolutely Egypt. Yeah, different. You know, they're going to be happening in different places. You know, all over the world. Peru, Lake Titicaca. You know,
I'm sure we could come up with a list that pretty much covers the globe.
Exactly.
There have been hot spots for years, and they're going to continue to be hot spots because these are the places that they come and they you know check their digital readings, they check their computers that they have buried in the ground. They come periodically. They have ways of cloaking themselves to where they're not ready to be seen yet. But as time goes on, the cloaks will come down. As consciousness raises and we get to that 55.5 critical mass of consciousness on the planet, it will be, everybody, you know, will be able to see them and it won't be such a secret.
Great. Thank
do
you.
We have one more question. Do we have one more
one
question?
More.
From the, okay.
We do. We're back to the DNA questions. If a person wanted to know how many DNA strands they had in particular, does anyone know where they would go to get that tested?
You know, I don't right offhand, but Catherine, do you know?
I don't. I don't know, but I think that is a great question. And
Eric Pearl, didn't he do some research with that?
I really don't know. I know they do talk about it in their lectures, but I don't know where you can actually go to have that done. I'll call him and ask him.
Yeah.
We'll have that answer next week.
Okay. I don't know him. You'll have to call him, Catherine.
No, I will.
Okay.
Okay. Was that the last question from the chat room, Sierra?
We just got one popped in about seismic activity. That's happening all over the place. There isn't one actual place to go to that you all know of to measure seismic activity. It's sort of a statement and a question at the same time.
I don't have the website in front of me, but there's you type in, I think it's an earthquake, I don't remember the name of it. It's easy to find. It's a place where you can see all the seismic activity all over the planet all the time. Just type in earthquake, and it'll come up on your computer. I'm looking
okay,
at time. I know that we have Tina Woods probably hanging on in Colorado, and you think that maybe we ought to bring her on before we run out of time.
Okay, well, we've got about 30 minutes left, and we have Jen with a question, and we have Tina. We have several callers with questions, so should we just start going down the line, girls?
Well, I'd like to get Tina on. Because
okay.
She has something very important to tell us about the zero-point energy, which has to do with basically a lot of what we're talking about. And I just wanted to give her the opportunity to also be on the line and share with us what she's feeling about this show tonight.
Okay. Sierra, I'm going to put you back on hold, and we're going to go talk to Tina.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Let's see. Here we go. Hi, Tina. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you so much. Well, I think this is an amazing show, and I really enjoyed what Muggsy had to say about our future. It's so encouraging. And Catherine, about the children and her experiences, and I feel like whenever I hear her voice, it's like a lullaby. She has such a connection with children, I feel. But Lavendar has asked me to talk a little bit about zero-point energy, and this has been such an intense call that I just want to try to keep it short and to the point here. But she asked about the technology. So I sat down and kind of wrote out a little outline, and I just wanted to say that we do have now on the planet these healing tools which have zero-point energy in them. And about 25 years ago, scientists began to gather in Australia because they realized that zero-point energy, which is essentially the energy that Tesla was working with, it's time for it to be available for people to use on the planet. And so they started working on it, and my understanding is that as they got closer and closer to realizing how to harness this energy and infuse it into crystals so that we could resonate with it, they more and more of the quantum physicists from the planet went down there and contributed what they could to bring this to fruition. And so now this, I actually work with a company who has safeguarded how to do this because this is an incredibly powerful energy, and we need to protect how it is being used. The tools that we have a little bit of zero-point energy in it. If there was a tool that was made that had a lot, it's very powerful. So in Singapore is a chamber where our tools are made, and what they do is they put crystals into this chamber, and for 3 weeks they infuse these crystals with zero-point energy, and then they pack them in to the different tools that they have, that we have. One is a pendant, and another is a wand, and we have various other things, but those are two of our most popular things that have just become available here in the United States. I wanted to say that the reason why they're here now is because we need this energy. Someone gave me a book to read, and it is it's channeled information. And I was reading through the book, and when I got towards the end, I almost lost my teeth. I was just reading along, and I got to a section, and it says in there, this information was channeled in 2006 and 2007. And there's a whole section. It says zero-point technology. And so I just wanted to just read a short part from this because it seems so very appropriate and right on. It seemed to kind of make sense to me that this is what it is. And this, so this guy actually, so this is what it says here. It says that the physics of zero-point energy machines, the physics is just too complicated to include in this book. However, the theory is very simple, and it will take a moment to enlighten you. This is what he channeled through. The simplest analogy is that of a bipole magnet, like a bar magnet. As you know, one end of the magnet is positively charged and one end is negatively charged. The electrons flow from the negative end toward the positive end, and the positrons flow from the positive end toward the negative end. However, a curious thing happens at the point that is exactly balanced between the two poles. At this point, the electrons and the positrons lose their differentiation of charge. And momentarily they do that, and they become free-form subatomic particles, thereby creating monatomic resonant atoms. Within the null zone between the polarities, there is virtually no resistance. As you probably know, resistance is caused by the differential inherent within a medium. In other words, resistance is caused by the reaction of various particles with each other that are slightly or totally out of phase in terms of polarity. When there is exact resonance, as there is at the zero point, you have what has been termed superconductivity, which is essentially opposite of resistance. And at the point of almost no resistance, you have nearly infinite energy potential. In this case, the infinite energy field of the etheric planes is accessed, since it is the etheric realm where the undifferentiated source energy tunnels into the physical realm. And at the exact point where the polarities are balanced, you have a mini wormhole or a portal opening up into the etheric realm. The technology that taps into the wormhole is virtually the same technology that utilizes the zero-point field to propel a spacecraft through the etheric realms between physical points in 3D time-space. So that is the definition of zero-point energy from this man that channeled this, and it sounds correct to me. And so I just wanted to say that there are tools that have energy, like there's scalar energy tools. These tools are invasive. They go into your body and they invade the space. This zero point energy resonates. There is no resistance there. And one of the doctors who is using this zero point energy to help people said, he said, this is likened to the when electricity was introduced to the world. And so if you can think of the story of, you know, just imagine that there is a little old farmhouse there many long years ago, and there were candles in the windows in the evening and little lanterns, and that was sort of how they kept their lights on at night. And all of a sudden, electricity is developed, and the representative from the company comes down the road, comes up to the house and knocks on the door and explains about this new invention to this farmer and says, look, you know, if you want to hook into our grid, you can have all the light you want. You can power up some of these new tools and appliances that we're going to have with electricity. And so some of the people would say, well, yeah, I want that. And they would then get hooked up into the grid, and they would have power, and their houses would be full of light, and they could use this power for their machines. Well, now, all these years later, everybody has electricity. We can't live without electricity. So these energy tools that we have with zero-point energy are kind of like that. their representatives that are offering them to people, and people who are saying, yes, I need that, those are the people who realize that, you know, we really can't afford to be sick anymore. They help you to stay well. We can't afford to go to the doctor anymore. These tools can help us so that we can become, we can take care of our own selves. We can become responsible for ourselves, like Muggsy said. We can just take care of each other. And so they connect us, these tools connect us to the etheric grid, just like the invention of electricity would connect people to the electrical grid. And so what happens is when you're connected to the etheric grid, the energy is allowed to flow through you so that your body can heal itself. And so we all need these energy tools now. And so I just want to thank you, Lavendar, for everything you do and for giving me the opportunity to relay my insight into the zero-point energy, which is just minimal, really. So thank you very much. It just will help us to be more responsible citizens.
And, okay, and Tina, why don't you give your phone number, if you will, for people that want to call you and order one of these devices.
Okay. It is 720-217-1829.
Give it one more time.
720-217-1829.
And I can attest to this. I put it on September 18th when I release Crack Between the Worlds. The only time I take it off is when I shower. And what it does for me is it reestablishes my natural state. It keeps me aligned to my rites of passage. It is an absolute miracle pendant as far as I'm concerned. And I know that Arielle, she has the wand. It helps her with her headaches and all kinds of different things that she's found. So I wanted to, the reason I wanted you to come on tonight and to talk about it is because we really need to have all the tools available to us because of the bombardment of the technologies on the planet. And a starseed can maintain their balance with the help of zero-point energy. It just makes it better for everyone, just for everyone. So I want to thank you again for coming on and for
thank
sharing
you, Lavendar.
With us. Because I have some things that I'm going to be saying in the next 2 or 3 weeks, probably toward the end of the month or 1st of February, I will have a gigantic report about some of the things that have been put in motion during the Teton meetings. And one of the things is to equip yourself with the best things you can find in order to maintain your balance on the planet. And this is just another thing to consider.
Okay, Tina, thank you so much for sharing that with us, because it's something that's new. A lot of people haven't heard about it, but it is going to be the norm in the near future.
Yeah, right.
So thank you so much for joining us, Tina. And
thank
we look
you.
Forward to hearing from you again. Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye.
And don't forget, we have a Bevelation. Are we going to have enough time to do it all
we
tonight?
We do have a Bevelation. We have 16 minutes left, and we have some more people with questions. So what would you like to do first, Lavendar?
Why don't we go ahead and do the Bevelation, and then we'll have the rest of the time for questions.
Okay. Here we go. This is this week's Bevelation with Lavendar reading Belva's work.
Well, we're ready for another Bevelation, and Belva has sent me something to read, and it's marked January 10th, 2011. And this is from our friend Doc Belva. This is a new year, a time to really create a more healthy life for yourself and for the people you care about. We have work to accomplish, and our physical body is the vehicle we choose to use for this important time of change. I spoke with a friend that has several children, now grown. She has grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and each child has recall and expresses the urgent need for change in our lifestyle and the importance of this particular time of our, with our food sources, including the health of the living animals, fish, birds that we consume. Lavendar asked me to explain my approach to a health reading, to educate listeners of the Starseed Academy, so that each one would be aware as to how to nurture our human bodies. For our strength and awareness can be urgently needed for survival in the next 2 years. She spoke of cell phone towers and the damage that can affect our nervous system. Chemtrails are very noticeable in our skies, and the genetic altering of our fruits and vegetables, plus the poisoning of our groundwater through natural gas exploration, all of these. And finally, the news concerning the fluoride added to our water has finally been announced. With a total lack of real reason, that particular chemical was added to all of our drinking water. With all of the cancer drives that raised billions, not once has anyone mentioned finding the cause of cancer. All they speak about is the cure. Would millions of people be out of work if they actually stopped cancer? So people, for someone to stop cancer is a lost cause. It's up to us, the Starseed people, to educate aware, to educate ourselves, our children, to understand cancer, how it enters the human body. You know, our vehicle, our car. Cancer destroys and rots essential organs. The present cure is poison. If we live, minus breath, a center, we're told that we had a miracle. Well, here we are now. We came here to make positive changes, to improve this planet, and to educate the population. Well, how are we doing? Now is the time I feel that I must share the knowledge I've experienced in this lifetime with the magical star people so they can stop the destruction of this planet and its inhabitants, including the trees, the plants, and every living thing. If we leave this planet, we should leave it in a better condition than we found it. So first, we must understand this human body, how to keep it working successfully in all things. We need to recognize poison when we ingest it, breathe it, or touch it. In other words, just be aware. Stop for a moment before you swallow that pill. Use that spray can. Drink something. Consider what this can do to your body organs. Learn to hold something and ask your higher self if this is good for you, your child, or your pet. So now, with a health report, you send in your saliva. I give you answers to how each organ is working. Your blood sugar, red blood cells, white blood cells, the venous system, the arterial system, heart muscle, heart valves, and ducts. All this tells you what is building, happening with your circulatory system. Many things contribute to plaque. It builds up on your teeth, inside your veins, arteries, and on the doorway to your heart valves. This only has to do with your heart and potential problems with circulation. I will suggest perhaps a change in diet, a detox, a cleaning out of the plaque clinging to the walls of your veins and arteries. The answer to those problems takes about a month of determined effort. If that is a usual problem, I may suggest that you consider doing something similar every year or so. This lowers your blood pressure, stops headaches, gives you more energy and a feeling, well, of just well-being. I do something similar with your digestive system, working with your stomach and liver and gallbladder and gallbladder duct and the pancreas duct, small intestine and large intestine. Then I tell you how your lungs, right and left, are working, same with your kidneys, your brain fluid, pituitary, thyroid, thymus, spleen, adrenals, parotids, okay, lymphatic system, and immune system. All of this takes a few weeks. I ask for saliva, give you written instructions on how to send it, and when the first detox is completed, then I ask for a second saliva to be certain it was completed and successful. And then there's the final salvo with suggestions for future supplements. I have a special starseed donation for this package, and you can find it on the website www.starseedhotline.com. I ask that you follow the instructions exactly, for even though the products will be bought from other health food companies, it involves formulas that have been successful over the years. If you have additional questions, I'll be happy to answer. I've had success with autism, and it does require a dedication and a backing down off of drugs. A difficult task, I know, for mother and child, and a lifelong effort for the child to have a normal life without drugs. Food supervision will always be necessary. Food additives can cause serious problems, even in healthy children. So, to all you Starseed listeners, to your good health, this is Doc Belva. And that is our Belvelation. Back to you, Ariel.
Well, thank you, Belva and Lavendar, for presenting that. You know, it really is just as important as your spiritual evolution, because if you don't have a temple to carry the spirit, you can't have one without the other. We have Belva with us, and we have also another question, and then I want to check back with Sierra in the chat room. So let me pick up this line. Jen? Jen, are you still there? You're
I'm
on
here.
The air.
Can you hear me?
Yes. You have a comment?
Great. I simply wanted to start off by saying this has been an amazing, amazing show and experience. And I say that because during this show, I have laughed, I have cheered, I have cried with Catherine, and I'm going to hold back from crying again. But I wanted to take a minute to thank all of you for making this vehicle available for us as we listen to your voices and your stories. It helps us to remember who we are and that we are ascending and that we have work to do. I wanted to comment on a couple of things that that I heard throughout the show, and I will keep it brief. I know we have other people. I wanted to start off by thanking Muggsy, who was actually the very first person that pointed me in the direction of Lavendar and got me started on this particular journey, which has been extremely fulfilling. Specific to the show, as you all were talking through, for example, Muggsy's predictions, hearing Lavendar talk about how she was discerning some of the information coming in, etc. Suddenly, a lot of the gifts that I had began to spark and really awaken. And quietly, Sierra, I'm going to nudge you on that one because we talked a little bit about that today, and I wanted to thank you for that conversation. But Muggsy, I wanted to share with you, as you were going through some of your predictions, I suddenly started getting a ton of visions as well that reminded me that much of what you were saying were the things that I have been feeling for years. And from a personal perspective, I wanted to touch into the where you were talking about people who are hibernating, who are coming out to help, and people who are engrossed in jobs and duality were going to leave them. They were just going to up and one day leave. I had these conversations today. People that are in hibernation are coming out. I was one of them in spiritual hibernation for 8 years. And coming out and into this community has been nothing short of a miracle for me. People in jobs and coming out of them, I have to honestly tell you, I work in corporate America today. It's a struggle to go in there without walking up to somebody and literally looking at them and saying, I love you and thank you for this opportunity, but I must leave now. I'm going to go live in my car and move forward and do the work that I have to do. So that is happening. You know, Muggsy, you also mentioned folks are going to wake up one day and say, wait, this is crap. And I, like I mentioned, I absolutely agree. And as this is happening and folks are making these changes, more and more people are going to be seeing these changes taking place in front of them, and they're going to feel that energy. They're going to be able to focus on those changes, and those changes and that energy are going to encourage even more people to move in a direction. It's going to help people to sort of fall on the bandwagon and fly that carpet, if you will. I also wanted to talk about Catherine mentioning her story was so amazing, and you all were talking about the twins, and Muggsy had mentioned that that she saw a boy and a girl, and I wanted to share, I too saw a boy and a girl. I absolutely agree with that. And the feeling that I got along with, I agree with Muggsy that, Catherine, you will see those children again, but part of the reason that they moved on, if you will, they needed your DNA to be able to create a bridge between the third and fifth dimension. What exactly that looks like, I'm not sure. I wanted to also, somebody had mentioned about the how do you tell the good from the bad. Real quick personal experience, I had been fighting with my diet for quite a long time, and there was a side of me that was saying, Jennifer, you've got to change this diet in order to be able to move into the body you're supposed to be able to propel this energy forward. And another side was saying, oh, you're such a magical creature. Just eat what you want and sink yourself into health. And when I stopped and I thought about it and had a confirmation conversation, if you will, with Sierra, it dawned on me that eating the junk food really did make me feel bad. So that information that was coming into me, although it was meant to sort of make me feel special, like I could just not have to live by the rules, it was intentionally put there in order to prevent me from doing what I needed to do in order to move to the next level and be able to do the work that I'm supposed to do. Tina, Zero Point Energy, I want to talk with you offline. I've taken so many notes. Lavendar, I do have a quick question for you. And that is this. Over the past couple of weeks, particularly this past week, I have noticed quite a bit of paranormal activity. I'm accustomed to paranormal activity just because of who I am, what I do, etc. But I've been seeing an increased, and I mean very noticeable, shadows when nothing was around. I've also started to, books are flying off shelves. I'm wondering if that is, and I was also experiencing quite a bit of the sleep, awake, depression, happy, blah, blah, blah. I'm wondering, are you aware of any type of increased paranormal activity for starseeds over the past couple of weeks? And then that's all
yes,
that I have.
And the reason for that is, it's being activated within you. You are a conduit now for different experiences that come under the title of paranormal.
Okay.
So it's a DNA packet that's coming alive and starting to be active. And also, there are beings that are coming and going from your present physical place where you live and where you work. And that may account for some of the shadows or some of the, you know, energies you see flickering out the corner of your eye.
Okay. Oh, 'cause I will tell you, I physically saw a shadow cross, block the light behind me as I was looking at it on the wall. But, you know, that's been really interesting. Tina, real quickly, from the energy perspective and that piece that you read, the reason I wanted to contact you had to do with a meditation I did back in 1995 that was a physical representation with no tools whatsoever. It was completely channeled, and it created that vortex that you spoke of, or that portal. So I kind of wanted to talk with you about that separately.
I noticed that we're running out of time. Can we still go on, Ariel, with the rest of the questions?
They won't
be recorded on our archives, but I know that people do want to stay on and ask some questions. Can we do that?
Okay, well, yeah, we have about 60 seconds left. At that time, the show will no longer be streaming, but it will still be recorded for a few minutes beyond that, so some questions will be answered that will be available then in the archive. So, Jen, thank you so much for sharing that. Can we move on now?
Sure, please.
Okay. Thanks, and I know that you're going to call back in next week, and we can pick this up again. I want to check back with Sierra one more time before we actually run out of recording time. So thanks, Jen.
Sure.
Hello, Sierra. You're on the air.
Hello. We don't currently have any questions, but people are very, very sad to see the show end today. They're Great, great show. Thank you, ladies, so much.
Oh, you're so welcome. And, Catherine, I just want to say personally to you that I, too, like everyone else, pick up such a love vibration. Your voice is so mellifluous, I think is the word. Just, I could just listen to you talk about the grocery list. And thank you so much. Thank you so much for sharing your essence and your stories with us. And we do definitely want to have you back on a regular basis because I think everyone loves you.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And I'm so happy to get to meet you online. And I just appreciate everything that you and Lavendar are doing. And I look forward to being with you whenever you'd like me to be here.
And thank you, Muggsy, wonderful, for coming on and sharing with the rest of us your insights for the coming future.
Yes, I think it was great to hear some good news, and it's something that we can all look forward to. So with that, ladies, let me just bring Belva on here for a second because she is here. Hello, Belva.
Hi.
Hello.
I love that Catherine girl.
Belva.
I spend a lot of time in Indian Springs, and we don't have any time to talk about it, but I wondered if it was the same place where you were.
I bet it was. It's the only one there.
With all the hot springs and everything. I used to take healers there, and we went several times a month to work with people at Indian Springs.
Now, this is Indian Springs in Nevada?
Yes.
Okay. I haven't seen any hot springs out there, but I will check that out. I just saw the temple there. I didn't know of any hot springs.
I left there in 82, so it was far afterward that you were there.
Yeah.
But it had beautiful pools, gorgeous.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
And the people that owned the place had a son that was crippled, and we worked on him and got him well. I used to take people there all the time.
Wonderful.
Well, you know,
it's wonderful to hear your voice.
That would make sense that it's a healing place.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because, you know, not only because of the springs, but other energy vortices that may be there. I would like to just wrap up here by thanking Catherine and Muggsy and Tina and Belva and Sierra for co-hosting in the chat room, Purple Sage for handling the switchboard, and, of course, Lavendar, all the work that you've done over a lifetime that is now kind of the lighthouse, the beacon for the rest of us that we're trying to figure this all out. We're so glad that you already have it under
yes.
your belt so that you can help guide us all. So with that, ladies, I'd like to say thank you to everyone and thank you to our listeners who will be hearing this in the archives. We will be back next week, Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is Arielle Taylor on behalf of Starseed Radio Academy. Thank you for joining us, and we do want to speak with you soon. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.